Hey, Julie.
Hi, Joanna. I just picked up Talia's email response to my reaching out about getting Wendy's address. So I'm so glad that you got that.
Yeah, I'm glad you're gonna send personally.
Yeah. And I hope you had a great weekend with Panina.
I did. I had so much fun. So much fun punctuated by, teenage
Yeah.
angst,
I get to go to NYC with, to be with my daughter in May for bridal gown fitting.
yes. Yay! So exciting. Oh my gosh. Well, welcome everybody. It's so good to see you. I missed you all, and so I'm really glad that we're together today. We have a practicum today, which we're going to move into in a few minutes. But before we do, Ray was supposed to be the coach for today, but she's not able to do it. So we have opportunity for someone else to do the coaching today for our practicum. I'm not going to ask for volunteers right now, but in a few minutes, if you are feeling called, there's opportunity. Before we get there, a couple of things. So let's see. First of all, not for those of you that are in advance starting in June, but for everyone else who started with us in Sacred Depths already last June or July, if you can believe it, it's like hard to even wrap my mind around. But I want to remind you that this coming Monday, we have our next steps call. And I'm really, really excited to be with you and to share with you about advanced steps. We still have a couple spots left in advance. And also to share with you about a new alumni program that's on the horizon as well. So that's this coming Monday. If you haven't, many of you have already RSVP'd, but if you haven't RSVP'd and you want to, please do. You should have gotten emails for it. It's at 12 Eastern. I'll be done in less than an hour. I'll keep it to an hour, I promise. Okay. So we have time and space today to before we jump into our practicum, to hear some celebrations and celebrate together. So I want to give everybody an opportunity to jot down what are some things, inner and outer, that you really want to celebrate, that you really want to honor, that you really want to acknowledge. They can be big things or small things. Small things are always big things with celebrations. What has been moving forward? What action have you taken that you feel really good about? What is evolving? What is shifting and changing for you? I'll give you a couple minutes. And I promise you, you have you've got a bunch of things that to put on this list, even if things have been feeling shitty and not going the way you want them to. there are still celebrations, I promise. So take some time, see what else is there. And Doris, I'm going to check. Maybe there wasn't like an, I'm going to check on that. If you're just coming on now, we are making some time and space for celebrations, big or small, inner or outer, taking the moment to really acknowledge what is going well, what is moving forward. Take one more moment. And I want to invite you to embody the celebrations. So it's one thing to name something that's going well, to write it down, because Joanna asked you to, or even like your daily journal, oh, I gotta make my list of celebrations today. It's the right thing to do, right? But it's a whole other thing, as we've learned, and this is important to know for our clients as well, right? To feel the celebration, to feel the satisfaction, to feel the gratitude, to make it have meaning for us, not just in our minds, but in our bodies. So I want to invite you right now to take some moments to really take in those celebrations that you just wrote down, to feel them. I promise this is not just busy work. This is important work for us to become more and more used to and practiced in taking in the good, in taking in the good. It doesn't mean that we're bypassing or disregarding what's not going well. The two can live together. The what's not going well will be better equipped to handle it if we can really feel what is going well. I'd love to hear some shares. What do you want to celebrate? What do you want to honor yourself for? Who wants to share? Deva.
Hi. I'm just noticing that I'm feeling a lot more compassionate toward my friends and family, and recognizing like everybody wants to be seen, heard, and loved, and how that's coming up just around more awareness and compassion toward myself and my clients, and really feeling more confident to put the coaching skills into practice within my existing sound alchemy that I'm doing. And last night I finished my first round of Seven Wonders of Sound as a 7-month online immersion. I'd done it in 7 weeks, but so this was the longest like stretch. And now tonight I start the next cohort, and I have about 15 people signed up. And so it's really exciting just to see how Even like the technology, I just did this big recording today. Everything's getting easier. It's still nerve-wracking, but it's getting more fun. So thank you so much.
I love it. I love it. You've got people in front of you. You're doing your work. It's getting easier and more fun, and you're having compassion for yourself and everyone around you at the same time. So awesome. I love it. Actually, I have not listened to your CD yet, but I want to show everybody because I have it right here for the moment I have the opportunity. This is Deva's CD, and I'm showing it because it's so exciting, but also everything you just described reminds me of you in this picture.
Oh, thank you, Joanna. It's been such a gift to really move into this world of sound on so many levels, the therapeutic part and the production part, and really it's been quite an edge and stretched, and just so many of your practices have helped to like calm the nerves through all those very uncomfortable moments of really looking at the resistance and the fear that I've just had. Okay, keep going, and recognizing the fear is good. It's a good sign of growth. So yeah, thank you all so much.
You're so welcome. So excited for you. Lisa.
I'd like to celebrate. I've been doing my first sort of bonus sessions with my one-to-one clients with using your somatic approach. And I've gone back to feeling nervous after 20 years of coaching. I'm like, I'm nervous before the sessions. It's so silly. It's so funny. And I'm like, oh, I wonder how it's going to go. I wonder if they're going to like it.
And how has it been going?
Pretty amazing. I've had comments. I've had amazing, powerful, and one guy who's blew his socks off is like, yeah. And I've been even ad-libbing when I've got to the questions. Woo-hoo!
Yes, so well done all around. So, not surprised to hear that the work has been so powerful and so amazing, and that you're blowing people's socks off. Big celebration on that. And I think maybe even a bigger celebration around not just doing what you've always done, right? Because you can, and that would be great, and you want to continue doing those things. But even though it makes you a little nervous, you're growing and you're stretching and you're trying and practicing new things because you feel called to it and because you know it's meaningful. That's huge.
Yeah, it is. And I've written to my news, you know, that little practice session you did, or experiment writing at the beginning of one of our small group called questions Q&A. It turned out into an article about marketing resistance, and it went out to 2,500 people.
That
And I
is
thought, yeah.
awesome.
So word's getting out. Yeah, can't stop now.
That's so great. I love it. Yeah, I that so many people have told me that what the writing we did on that Q&A call has turned into things. We're going to start integrating more of the writing into the
So
Q&A.
thumbs up for that too. Thank you. Thanks for letting me share.
Of course, Banshan. Are you there? If you're talking, we can't hear you. Oh, maybe we lost you. I think she dropped off. Hopefully she'll come. Are you there? Fanshan, are you there? I think you may have dropped off.
Wow. I'm so sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, just as
I'm
you
on.
were about to share a celebration.
Yep, I'm on a rainy walk with my dog because it's the only time I can take her out. And I went to unmute and I X'd out of the thing and said, anyway, sorry about that.
That's okay.
It's so great to see everybody and to hear the shares. I'm just going to stay off video because I'm walking in the rain. But I did want to share, I mean, so many things, and I loved how people are integrating the personal with the work. And I feel that too. I feel so much shifting in my personal life and my work life, which they're all very connected. I don't have a huge separation. So yeah, it just feels really beautiful. And I think concretely the business win that I wanted to share is, some of you know that I have been working towards starting a therapy group, which I got really great feedback from you all and from you, Joanna, regarding just like messaging to clients. And I did my second week last week. This Wednesday will be my third of a 6-week series. It's called Becoming Known, Somatic and Mindfulness Techniques for Single Folks That Are Dealing with Loneliness. And it's been beautiful. I have four members. One's a little tricky. She's arrives late a lot. So it's like presenting some opportunities, and the feedback so far has been really positive. And it's just like something that it just feels big that I just did it. It's imperfect. I only have four clients, but my max was 8, so it's amazing. I am so proud. I love it. It's fun. It's rewarding. They're liking it. It's great.
I'm so happy. I'm so, so happy to hear it. I had a sense it was going really well, but it's so good to hear. You did, like, you put it out imperfectly. You felt the call. It came together. And I can hear you sitting on your throne, knowing that you're in your mastery, and totally. Just really enjoying that kind of facilitation. So, so happy to hear it.
It's the best. Yeah, I love it. And I feel the circle of support in this community, and I really appreciate it. It's really awesome.
So, so happy. Yay. Such great celebrations, Lori.
Hi. So I'm celebrating. I have wanted to write a book. I know that my community can't afford a lot of coaching. They tend to be very financially strapped. So I thought a book would be a really great way. And I've always found reasons why not to. The time is just never right. And the writing group coach that I wanted to work with, I had crossed off that course, because the timing wasn't right. But then she sent out last chance. And I'm like, you know, her next one's in September. I can wait until then. And then I thought, well, what's going to change between now and September? Nothing. So I went ahead and signed up. And it's nice. It's a small group, only 9. But they just seem so much together than I am. I feel so much the imposter syndrome. And I've really committed. I'm going to say something, comment, question, something each time we meet. And even I feel really like socially awkward because I'm so insecure in that group. But I am really proud that I'm putting myself out there. I'm doing the work and I'm really working through the insecurities and the imposter syndrome. So I'm really excited. And I'm really excited about Melody, my coaching buddy, because she has been such a great support for me through this and coaching me through some of the tools that we've been using to be able to have the ability, the courage to be able to step out and do that. So it's been really amazing. So I wanted to say shout out to Melody as well.
Yes, yay, Melody. And I love that you decided nothing is going to be different now than in September. And it feels to me from what you're sharing, Lori, that this is not only about you writing the book, which it absolutely is, but this is about you in your next evolution around the imposter syndrome and owning who you are as a thought leader, who you are as a writer, and putting yourself out there. And so I'm so, so excited to hear it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yay. All right, take one more, Julie.
Thanks. First of all, I'm just so happy for each of you who have shared. Like, I can really feel all of your like fresh spring energy is what it feels like. I don't know, just such goodness coming through. I am celebrating that last weekend I successfully offered another solo soul care retreat for one woman, which was really beautiful. And I'm just really feeling like that is my special sauce. That's just feeling really aligned and juicy and nourishing for both my clients and myself. I had a client re-sign. I might have mentioned that during our last call. And I recently had this sort of internal dialogue around a restaurant in our community that is opening this spring under new ownership. And so they've been posting a lot about positions they're looking to fill, including kitchen staff and wait staff. And I think they had like one Saturday night shift open. And I was like, maybe I could serve one night a week. And then I quickly was like, I don't think I really want to do that. So it was just this little check-in with myself. And then it came up in conversation last week with some friends and my husband, and he immediately was like, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go back to that work. And old me could have been like, you're not the boss of me. You know, you don't get to tell me what I want or don't want. But I really felt so met and so seen and affirmed and validated. And like, that felt like really beautiful growth and healing in our marriage. So that's my celebration.
So beautiful all around. And on this last piece in particular, it feels like a celebration of your relationship. And it feels like a celebration of you honoring your time and energy and like highest and most sacred purpose right now. And deep trust too. Beautiful. Well, thank you. Thank you to everyone who shared celebrations. Okay, so this is what I always say when I ask for a volunteer to via the coach or be the one being coached is, if a bunch of you raise your hands, don't get insulted if I don't choose you. I'm gonna without really thinking about it too much, intuitively, just kind of look at the names and pick the one that pops out at me. And we'll all trust that whoever I pick is who we're like, for everybody involved, is for the highest of this group, for learning and going deeper into the skills. So what we're going to do is we're going to have about a 30 minute coaching session. An opportunity to, if you want to be the client, to get coached on anything that you are wanting support on, so long as it's not consulting. For the coach, you can use any tool. This is kind of like open. So any of the Sacred Depths tools or combination of the tools, whatever you want to pull out of your toolbox. And while it will be incredibly valuable for both the coach and the client, it is going to really be even more valuable for the rest of us who are observing, who get to have this opportunity of, in this really intentional way, in community with all of our shared language here in Sacred Depths, to observe the coaching, and then pull out the skills and what worked and what might want to be shifted and kind of get to the nuances there. So that being said, I'll look for a coach first, someone who feels like doing some coaching today. And if you want to coach, just raise your hand in the sidebar. How many volunteers we need? Don't be scared. You already know so much, I promise you. You're going to do a great job.
Can I just offer that I was the last time to go and I was scared shitless, but I loved it. I mean, it was such an amazing experience. I learned so much. And so come on, if you're feeling it, go. You can do and this. Rocked we got it. Your back.
You did. Oh, great. We got Deva. So Bryn, thank you. You inspired Deva. Yay. Thank you, Deva, for volunteering. So let me talk to you for a moment, Deva. Where are you? Just take yourself off mute.
Hi. I was all ready to volunteer to be coached, and so I was ready for that one. And I'm totally surprised that I raised my hand, but here I am.
Hey, I'm so excited that you did. Thank you. So I know you just decided right now and haven't had any time to think about it, but just go with it. I'm going to ask, as you step into this coaching, as the practitioner, what's going to be for you, like your stretch place? What is it that you want to be practicing that's stretchy for you?
I think just really being in the moment and deep listening and staying in my heart and trusting that I have these skills in there, and I don't know what ones are going to be most helpful, but I think just the listening and checking my lens, you know, staying in my body, all those things.
Awesome. Beautiful. All right. We need a volunteer, someone who has something they'd like to be coached on today. Who's got something they want to be coached on? Again, don't be shy. It's an opportunity.
You know that I already have been in the coaching seat for one of these, so I'm happy to defer to let somebody else go. But if nobody else is feeling called, I would be happy.
And I'm happy to trade if anyone is feeling like I actually would rather coach, or, you know, so I'm fine being in either one of them. I'll just put that out there as well.
Deva, we're going to keep you in coach. You raised your hand. You wanted it. Julie, thank you. I'm going to give us another half a minute to see if anybody wants to volunteer. And if not, thank you for offering. Sarah, are you volunteering to be client?
Yeah.
Yay.
I'm actually a hot mess. So if you don't want to deal with a hot mess, you could pass over me and I'd be okay.
A hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Gonna do it. Okay.
Great. Okay. So Deva, I will be watching time, but I want you to watch time too. And we'll call it 4 Eastern even. So about 31 minutes and take it away.
All right.
Oh, wait, I got to put you on main person speaker view. Okay.
Hi. Oh, well, I'm so happy to have this opportunity to get to work together today. We have about 30 minutes, so I'd love to just dive in and see what would be most helpful. What is it that you would like to work on together?
I would like to work on in a bigger sense, dig myself out of the hot mess state that I'm in, and maybe identify some ways that I could get some support around kind of just issues of shame.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're
impacting my life and my clients' lives. That's a lot, but.
Well, let's see what we can cover here. I think that term hot mess is very intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to know a little bit more about what that means for you.
Okay. It means that I feel like, I'll just sort of list a couple things, and you know, obviously we have a short amount of time. You could pick whichever one feels, or maybe I could, most salient. I'm running a workshop with 2 therapists this coming weekend. And since going virtual, it used to feel like waiting lists when we were in person, and this is in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's for parents who are transitioning their teen or young adult home from maybe hospitalization or residential treatment. And the it's been getting more difficult every year to that it's virtual to go to fill it. So I'm having to like, I'm actually having like the Ring of Fire marketing. Like I never wanted to do this much marketing and I'm having to really market it. So I see a silver lining, which is that I'm pushing into boldly going into territories, you know, Star Trekian, but it's really been, it's just also been hard. And I'm letting my self-care, which was already fragile in the first place, has kind of collapsed. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of not feeling great. And I have to run a support group tonight for parents of young adults. And I feel almost like it would be irresponsible of me, but I'm going to do some work today, like maybe take a walk out in the wind. And, but really bigger picture, I think, is that I can tell that I haven't put in place the supports that I need. Like one of my main messages to parents is how many supports you have to put in place, but I'm not doing that. And I've, you know, clearly in my field, you would be thinking about that. So I feel like there's been some resistance. So I think it's actually time to do it. Oh, and so all the hot mess stuff is bleeding into everything else. It's like, oh, I'm not invoicing on time and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff.
Kind of a lot that's kind of coming undone, perhaps without having better self-care, soul care place.
Yeah.
And feeling this stretch of having to put on another hat to be the marketer, whereas you really want to be doing more of the support therapy work. I heard that you said that you're doing this workshop with another practitioner this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not a therapist. I'm a parent coach. Okay. And they're it's two therapists, but they don't market. They donate their services. Yeah.
Okay. So you're working with two therapists. You are in the seat of the parent coach. And so are they kind of putting the marketing on you, or how did that fall that you're the primary one doing the marketing for it?
I'm connected to a nonprofit called Willows in the Wind that serves the greater Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And we've just always, we host it. And, but I am alone because as an organization, it's being impacted by trends in the industry. Anyway, the industry is like residential treatment, which has, I don't know if you've been following the Paris Hilton, it's gotten dinged, you know? Yeah. So,
haven't been following it, but I can feel that there's a lot of kind of building.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I guess also I did actually ask for help from my fellow facilitators. We're all volunteer. And I started asking about a month ago, and that's actually been pretty, it's been a little hard that nobody, there's a like crickets and silence. So I'm kind of doing it alone.
Okay. I was going to ask that. Is there anyone you can call on?
Mm-hmm.
Or,
I'm starting to do that. I'm actually starting to, the anxiety is enough that it's gotten me to, you know, like start to reach out to people on LinkedIn and say, hey, can you like my, you know, our announcement. And that was the first time I'd posted a LinkedIn. So there's a lot of firsts going on for me. So I think,
How was the response there? Did you get any?
Yeah. Like anybody I asked did, and I got a few more. And then, somebody I know said, you need to start making lots of contacts. And so it's not like I'm immobilized, I'm doing things, but really I kind of, one of the things I want to talk about, but I might cry. Okay. Is that really what's kind of coming up for me is a really old thing. Mm-hmm. Like, why did you think you could pull this off? You know, I took a lot of bold moves this year. I started a book club that's been kind of cool for parents of young adults. I'm doing this workshop, but I also am noticing I'm not talking to my clients as much, but the old voice is like that white.
Wow. why did you think you could pull this off? Where can we take a moment to look at that voice and be with that voice?
Yeah. I'm
curious, where do you feel it's the first time you heard that voice? And just take some time if you need to get a tissue or take some deep breaths here.
Not sure about the very first time, but I've shared in my women's group, so Melody probably has heard this. My dad, who was getting his PhD in psychology at UC Berkeley, was a kind of a charming but troubled, grumpy man, you know, charismatic and grumpy, very inconsistent. And I remember writing home, like it was in the 60s, and telling him something like, oh, I remember to da da da. And he looked up from fixing the sump pump, poor guy, you know, three kids that he'd had by the time he was 22. And he was like, he just said, what do you want, a fucking gold medal? And I think that,
And probably
the stress in my family and maybe genetics. Mm-hmm. I've always had kind of a perfectionist part, and I was diagnosed sort of late with a sort of low level of ADHD. So I get excited about things, and so I'm in a stage right now where I'm putting out a lot, but that little voice of you can't finish this, or you can't pull it off.
Can we go back to that, your dad though, him saying, what do you want, a fucking gold medal?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think your younger self really wanted in that moment?
Well, I remember that there was a Crest commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And that I may be like conflating decades, but there was a Crest commercial where a kid would go, daddy, daddy, guess what? No cavities. And the father would pick the child up and swing them around, you know?
Yep. And that would be the award and that acknowledgement, right? And so maybe inside, maybe you really did want a gold medal and you wanted that celebration. And maybe your father wasn't able to meet you. But if you look back, is there anything that you can give to yourself now to acknowledge and to celebrate for yourself what you were doing in that moment and how important that was to you?
Well, I don't know, because my brain is bifurcating into extreme embarrassment revealing this much.
Okay. So let's be with that.
I'm just gonna put my hand on my chest.
Okay. I know earlier, yeah, I'm gonna hold my hand on my chest as well. And just let's breathe into the heart space for a moment here, because I think this is really important that this energy is moving and that it's coming to the surface so that it can move through, and to allow the fears, the emotion to move. And in the beginning you said now you're experiencing shame that you're trying to run this program, but maybe there's a deeper root of where this came from, that if you're willing, if it's okay, can we go a little deeper here?
Yeah, but I might have to use this. Don't worry, I'll wash this later. Okay, everybody.
I've got my
Where's the tissue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think you would be embarrassed to reveal this much? What is inside?
Can I go back to the gold medal?
Let's go back.
I don't know. I mean, I could do that, but the embarrassment thing, but back to the gold medal.
Let's go. What does that represent when you think of the gold medal?
Well, I always wanted a gold medal for my dad.
Yeah.
And I never got one. I got one from my mom, though. It's very fortunate. Mm-hmm. But
and is your father still on the earth plane? Is he still with us?
He died when he was just 4 years older than I am. He died of lymphoma when he was 67.
Okay.
So we never quite got to resolve things. Mm. I was a older mom. I'd had my daughter at age 40, and I was just sort of getting ready to meet him and talk about things, but he got sick. So I feel like I deserve a gold medal for having become the person that I am. But I also obviously feel a lot of shame about, you know, not being able to juggle all the balls all the time.
Okay, so you're, how you said you're bifurcating between feeling embarrassed and wanting to stay with this, but that you're juggling a lot, but you're also feeling like a gold medal for all that you have accomplished, and that you didn't get to have that resolution with your father.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering if you'd be willing to do some homework, just recognizing we don't have a lot of time today, but to sit with maybe writing your father a letter, acknowledging all of those places within where you would like to celebrate and acknowledge your own self,
mm-hmm.
for all that you have come through, and to really give him the opportunity in that spirit world where we're not in linear time, where mm-hmm. we can merge, that you would be able to have a dialogue with him.
Mm. And I put that as like item number 4. Is that okay with you if I defer a little on that? Because I'm going to write it down.
That's why I was write this, because it's a lot. Maybe you're not ready to do it right now. But if we come back to the more immediate, that you have this workshop that's coming up this weekend, and that feeling already stretched that you need to have more time for the soul care and for that support, that taking time, maybe it's not even for your father, but to write and journal, and to acknowledge for yourself what it is that you really want to celebrate.
Okay, I could do that. I think I'm going to be a wily gosh, it's really storming here.
I'm in Big Sur, so it's totally
So you're close. I'm in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the coast.
I think that what I can feel is that almost some, I think that I heard you say the word time, and it's sort of almost glowed, like it's own gold medal. And I think that I'd like to really give myself some time to take care of myself this week, which is something that I don't tend to do very much.
Yeah.
And in fact, I feel a little bit like how I got into this hot mess was by some abandoning of myself, a little self-betrayal.
Yeah.
And a little, honestly, some neglected self-care. Like I was talking to a friend who's in Brooklyn, and she suggested that I call somebody that she knows that does Hawaiian sound healing. Mm-hmm. So I would like to commit to doing one thing for the next few days.
And what would the one thing be?
Well, I started off today listening to Tara Brock's, I think it was a talk about Out of the Wilderness. Mm-hmm. And I'll share it if I can find it. I listened to it in that sort of like sleepy morning, you know. And I turned it off right when it said, and really, one of the things that parents, that research shows or something like that, is that parents who actually take care of themselves and live set full lives, mm-hmm. Are the best medicine for their kids. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I put it on pause both because I thought, well, that's so deep and I'm not doing it. And also I wanted to really take the time with it. So I think for today, I would actually listen to that, not just in a sleepy state. And then I would make an appointment with the Hawaiian sound healer.
I think that sounds like a beautiful action to do.
And then I could journal by day three.
Okay.
Journaling, former writing teacher, but I always feel bad that journaling always feels like work to me. I have about 50 half-started journals. I don't know if anybody needs one. Rip out the first three pages. See? Can never finish anything, right? So there you go.
Well, what if that's just like the inspiration, the spark is all in there and they're all gold medals, just the, you know, that you've started and that there's room to keep going.
Yeah. Actually, Melody, who's in our group, who's a wonderful person, by the way, keep your eyes out for Melody. She lives in Berkeley. She has some funny term that she uses. Melody, what's it called? Enforced self-care. Like as soon as you said it, I laughed out loud. Are you here?
Radical self-care.
Radical self-care.
Wait, what is it?
Enforced.
Enforced. That's what it was. Enforced radical self-care. Yeah. I think that my time has come.
I like, Sarah, this sounds really powerful. Mm-hmm. I'm curious for you, you said that time felt like this glowing gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to postpone the workshop this weekend at all to give that more space?
No, I'm thinking of doing a Joanna. I'm not sure if Joanna would claim this, but it's not possible to move it.
Okay.
And I actually think I can get into the space by really putting the time in, which she suggested that we do. But what was the Joanna part? Oh, there was some other thought I had. Yeah, it'll come back to me. Putting the time in. Oh. Something else. It'll come to me. I can't move it.
That's not
enough. I can get myself into a better place. Okay. Oh, I know what it is. I have actually in my book group been using stories much mm-hmm. the same way that was modeled for us. And that has just really worked for me. Mm. So I think one of the things I was noticing is that we haven't dropped self-care out as a theme in this workshop, because what was really interesting was parents. Wait, what's our time?
We've got about 10 minutes left.
Okay. We used to have it as a slide and like, let's take some minutes. And it was the least popular every time. And I think that's partly because when you get into this space where you're taking care of a teen or young adult with mental health, mm-hmm. you can get whacked out. And I'm increasingly realizing that we need to come back to that and open to that message for other people. I haven't been doing it myself. So I think I might tell a story.
So I love this to model self-care. I also think of it as soul care.
Mm-hmm. And
I've done a lot of teaching of self-care workshops, and that it is really the highest form that as we take care of ourselves, that ripples out into the world. So how, coming up, what are, I hear you've got the action steps that you're going to go on a walk in the wind, that you're going to do a little journaling, but not until later on, and that you're going to take the time to call the Hawaiian sound healer to listen to the rest of the tarot rock. Do you want to take just a moment to really sit and listen into your heart, listen into that younger part of you that maybe felt embarrassed or ashamed? What does she need to feel?
Excuse me, wouldn't you know that in this storm, someone has come to the door?
Also, taking a moment, maybe it's a miracle at the door.
I mean, can you take one? Can I? I'm so sorry. Yes.
Go ahead, sorry.
Okay, is everything okay?
Yeah, would you mind closing that door? Yes, an unexpected thing happening.
I feel like it's kind of that day. It's like everything's moving. We're in the Aries new moon.
Sorry, I was not expecting anybody. So
spring equinox. So let's come back to where we started, that we were putting our hands on our hearts here and just noticing all the energy moving around. And I want to take a moment just to bring all of this energy back in, and to really allow yourself just a moment, feel your feet beneath you, get really grounded, feel the element of the earth, feel into the element of water, the element of fire, the element of air and ether, remembering that we're made of stars and that you are a gold medal, and just to feel into your wholeness, the celebration of all that you have come through in your lifetime, and all that you have to model for other parents and families. And to listen to this voice of the younger part of you.
I'm going to redo the image.
And see, what does she have to share with you? What is the image?
I can't quite see it, but it's something like, remember a tetherball?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a maypole. I was born in May. Just taking myself on some ribbon rides around the maypole. Kind of like the Crest commercial, but replacing my dad, who, by the way, I feel very sorry for.
Yeah.
He had a kind of a, it's kind of a generational trauma. Yeah. He had a very harsh dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just taking myself on my own swinging ride.
Yeah. And what if being in a hot mess is totally okay? That it's the fire, this energy. We have the sun in Aries, the moon in Aries. There's a lot of fiery energy. And to allow yourself to embrace all that you are And to know that your vulnerability gives other people permission mm-hmm. to always get it all right, to mm-hmm. be humble humans, and to know that we still can get so much meaning out into the world, just being exactly who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I can, it hasn't been fun to live through it.
Yeah.
But because it's been kind of about a couple weeks now, you know, it's the anxiety has been building up. But I do actually recognize that it's kind of like the experience of, you know, when you're, I used to be a ESL teacher, and one of the things they always recommended was continue to be a student, so that you can really feel that experience. So I've been having that, like, lots of empathy mm-hmm. for these young adults that are like tormenting their parents, you know, by, I mean, not that I tend to be a very productive procrastinator. So I've been doing a lot of stuff, by the way, but just really feeling for people, for other people in a kind of an all is one way.
In that lens of the student, we have just about 3 minutes. What do you feel like you want to take away from this session for yourself today? What feels really helpful, or where has it been supportive for you?
Well, I think I actually accomplished, I get credit. I get a gold medal for sharing today.
Hey!
Because I was thinking, like,
nobody else would do it. That would be kept up. So
I'm claiming my gold medal.
I'm going to send you one, actually.
No, during the celebration, I was like, I wrote to Melody privately and said, God, this is the first time where I just can't do it. And even then, though, there was this little thing like, oh, that's good. Because if you do something like this in the workshop on Saturday, you can actually address that. That could be the start of your story. Anyway, I'm laughing, but I think I get a gold medal for sharing, and that I really realize that with anxiety and a lot of things like this, putting it out into the light of day, I did not think I was going to volunteer, by the way. It was that weird pause where none of y'all came to the foreground, you know? So anyway, I think the takeaway is that I feel like the crazy hot mess feeling has cooled down. Yeah. And that metaphors can be powerful. Mm-hmm. Like the gold medal. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I'm so grateful that we got this time to share and be together in this way. And I hope that it was supportive for you. I didn't think I was going to volunteer at all.
So yeah.
Thank you for your willingness for showing up. And I hope that it was helpful for you. I feel like I just love seeing your full self. Thank you for being vulnerable with your tears and mm-hmm.
going. And you're so close by.
I am.
I could come to Big Sur after the rains.
Come and do a sound journey with me.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for being with us on this journey.
Yay, Dayla. Yay, Sarah. Thank you. Thank you to both of you. Okay, Sarah, if you want, you can put your practitioner hat on, but you have to if you want to take some space. Yeah. And Deva, let me ask you first, back to your kind of stretch place on being in the moment and the deep listening, trusting, sitting in your body. How do you feel about that? How'd that go for you?
I feel pretty good about it. I feel like I didn't really know where we were going. And there was moments where I was like, I need to like pull in some better formula. And it was like, just keep listening. And so I feel like for that part, like I really felt like I let myself be kind of uncomfortable with not needing to know and not consulting, which is more what I'm used to doing. So I felt like that was a good practice.
Yeah, beautiful. Good, good, good. And I felt you listening. I did. I felt you with Sarah and listening and being in that mystery and not rushing to need to know or out of the body. What is one, that might be the one thing, but I'll ask you in case there's something else. What is one thing that you really want to celebrate? One thing that you feel really good about?
I feel good that in 30 minutes, we were able to kind of move through it felt like a movement of a song, like that it had this climactic part and then that there was a resolution at the end. And I really was like wanting to be helpful. I'm like, I feel like I need to do something to be helpful. And I think just recognizing holding space for somebody and letting them do their work without having to get in there and fix it for her, which there were moments where I was like, really wanted to. And so, I'm really curious to see how it was witnessed or what people got out of it. But
I'm so glad you're bringing this forward, because I think this is important and an important distinction for all of us. I want to pull on something that David just said. So we already know in this group that we're not here to fix, right? Beware of when the need to fix disguises itself as wanting to be helpful. Because that's sneakier, right? Because like, yes, we always want to be helpful. But if we're feeling, and I think you really like held it at bay and you stuck with things, right? But if we're feeling pulled, it's, I need to be helpful. What do I need to do in this moment to be helpful? That's sneaky code for I'm trying to fix. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, good. All right. So I'd love to hear some shares. What are some things that you noted Diva did really well? What did you really love about the session? What did you know went really well? Melody. Are you there, Melody?
I'm just talking away, okay. Muted.
I had a feeling you were talking.
Thank you, Deva and Sarah. Oh my goodness, it was so beautiful. And I think for me, I don't know if this is true for you, Deva, but for me, sort of the climax of your song was when the doorbell rang and you said, "A miracle at the door." And you were the miracle, Deva. For me, that's where everything shifted. You noticed that Sarah was ungrounded, and you kind of did a meditation visualization that took all of the pieces she was talking about and you put them into the meditation. And for me, that was a huge shift. It was, as Joanna would say, it was beautifully done. Oh my God, it was so nice. So
nice. Yes. Yeah, that was such a interesting and key moment. And I want to pull on what you're sharing, that the how Deva pulled together so many strands at that moment. It was clear that she was tracking and listening and then pulling so many of the pieces into the mix. Good. Jennifer.
Hi. Okay, so that was just awesome. I love Deva's curiosity, like in the beginning when she was like, let me go back to, what does hot mess mean to you? And then Sarah was really able to kind of go into what was happening in her life that felt like that. And so just the way that the space was held too, like Davis has that really soothing tone and she's very soft, and it felt like a very safe container. And it felt like Sarah felt that too, because she was really able to be vulnerable and open up. So it was just really beautiful. And just the deep questioning and the deep listening, you could really see what Deva was doing there. So it was really beautiful. So.
Yes. And that question that Jennifer just mentioned, I want to highlight it. So the question, you know, Deva asked, well, what does a hot mess mean for you? Remember, definition questions are always valuable. They're valuable because it helps the practitioner gather more information, get on the same page with the client, understand what they mean, what the client means, but it also helps the client get more clear on where they're at, create awareness for themselves by defining a term. Good. Kelly.
Yes. So I was in the car after pickup for the first part of this, so I didn't have all my notes, but I am just so struck. And of course I know this about Deva, but just watching her in action was really awesome. Just by your gentleness, Deva, and like, there's a deep sense of competence and confidence with so much tenderness and gentleness, and your space holding is really strong. And still it's like velvety to me for like getting into like the somatics of it. And there was so much safety there. And I even loved that, you know, Sarah, you were so skilled at guiding Sarah. I think when you asked the definition piece, I was like, bam, like you were just like on it and guiding and holding, holding the guide seat with her. And then even when Sarah said, wait, I want to make that number four, or I'm going to do something different. And she did that a number of times, which actually was really awesome. And you, like, it didn't even feel like you had an ego flinch. You were just like, yeah, let's do this. And you just kept like navigating with your gentleness and still holding the seat of guide. Like you weren't derailed by that. And then as somebody else said, then you were able to take the part that Sarah named as priority and like weave them in together in a way that that could really guide her to the place that she wanted to be. And then I just wanted to state that Sarah said what, and I was driving at the time, so I was listening deeply, but didn't have my notes, which I need. But it was something about like shifting my state or something and like moving into a space of more self-care. And it was like exactly what Sarah had stated was what she walked away with. So it was like such a beautiful, I don't know, like a really beautiful dance is what it felt like to me.
Yeah, I love that you're especially pointing out this piece. So Sarah did a lot of self-coaching as Deva was coaching her. It was really, I always love when that happens. It was so great to witness. And like you're saying, to witness Deva not getting attached to a suggestion or a line of questioning or a direction. And Deva, that's part of that deep listening and being in the moment that you set the intention on. You let continued to allow the client to lead and the client to be the one with the most wisdom for herself. Good. Lisa.
I love Deva's energy as she was coaching. For me, it's just like, how could anybody not be calm and sort of in a good space by the time she's spent half an hour with her? It's just like, yeah, really wonderful. So it's like, I thought that was a perfect example of energy follows energy. So she went from a hot mess to being like, yeah, I'm okay. So, which was lovely to see Sarah, it just almost a transformation in her state there. And I liked the fact, you were just remarking on it there a little bit with Kelly, but it's almost like when Sarah decided that she was going to go in a different direction, it was like, oh, well, trust that the client, you know, trust that the client's okay. Yes. And knows where they're going without trying to rally them in my direction, so to speak. I thought it was a really good example. I felt Dave was a little bit tested there, if I'm honest. It's like, no, but she was totally cool with it. So, yeah, really lovely. Yes. Lots of other things I could say, but I want to save some for somebody else. There's lots of good things to say.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yes. Yes to all of that. Anyone else want to share? I've got some things as well, but I want to give space for anyone else that wants to share something that you noted that you really liked that David did, or you noticed that went really well.
So I loved when Sarah's at the door and then like David's like, okay, let's come back in. I was like, she's like, okay, let's put our hand back on our heart. I immediately put my hand on my heart and I realized, oh, I wasn't like being coached. It was just like, I was just pulled into it. She's like, I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do that. You know, it just felt really great. So I love that. It was amazing. I love witnessing the whole thing and it was great. Thanks.
Beautiful. Thank you. I had a question about that moment. After the door, my question about that moment was, Sarah, I don't know if you're able to answer, did you need for Deva to kind of acknowledge that there was a distraction and ask if it was okay with somebody else there in the room to kind of like be vulnerable and go in, or if you kind of needed a moment for that?
I was in such an altered space because literally I'm here on like a month long retreat house sitting and there is the biggest storm you've ever seen. And so nobody's supposed to come till like 3 o'clock. So yeah, I think I was pretty, in a weird way, I felt really invaded and,
oh, I think you just froze. It must be her storm. Are you there, Sarah? Uh-oh. Okay. Hopefully Sarah will become unfrozen very soon. We'll come back to her. Let me mention, I want to pull a couple other things that went really, really well, that I want us all to take note of. When Sarah mentioned this voice, this why did you think you could pull this off voice, before going any further with it, Deva got consent to go further with it. She said, and in such a beautiful way, can we take a moment to be with that voice? Right. So just always remember like getting consent at critical moments, particularly if you're going to go into a somatic place. But in general, like there, you know, like listen for the moments where before you go deeper, that it's important to get permission to go deeper. Number one, for the permission, but number two, for the client to give themselves the inner sight signal of yes, I'm ready to go deeper here. So that was really nicely done. Some great questions were asked. We noted the, what does the hot mess mean for you? Another great question in there, what does the gold medal represent? Right? You know, we could have made assumptions on that, et cetera. That, you know, kind of going deeper into like, what she mentioned this thing with the gold medal, what does that represent for you? Why is that important? Such a great question. And then coming back to that metaphor of the gold medal throughout, Deva, just really in this beautiful, sometimes subtle, sometimes not so subtle ways, kept on bringing it back to this symbol. Like Sarah now has this symbol that she can go deeper and explore for herself. And work even more deeply. Okay, great. Deva, what's one thing that if you could go back, you might do a little differently?
I think I was pretty flustered about the door. I was just like, oh God, you know, and I'm watching the clock and wasn't like that part was really tricky for me to navigate. And even just, I think you're saying like getting consent, like, is everything okay? Like, I feel like I didn't fully acknowledge that interruption, that maybe she needed to go, or do you need to go talk to that person? Because I was kind of like a little like, we're being watched by everyone.
Yeah, it's definitely different than just a regular session with a client. There's a lot going on. You didn't sound flustered at all, just so you know. Like it didn't come off that way at all. Yeah. Well, Sarah's back on now. You kind of got caught up, Sarah, mid thought. Was there anything that you wanted to say or share?
No, in fact, I thought there was an intervention that was gentle and happening, but that I was vibrating at too high a level. So I might have missed what came after that. A little bit. All I can remember is sitting here and my heart was pounding again. And it's like I wasn't in the same hot mess though. I could feel that. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is another mess. What do I call this one? But anyway, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. Were you able, it felt like you were able, as Deva led you, to then come in to your body in a different way. Was that your experience?
Well, that's because, but I guess I should save it to what worked for me. Yes. The velvety energy. I like that. Yeah. I really, respond. I could feel it again. It took me maybe 2 or 3 minutes, not that long.
Yeah.
I knew she was there for me.
Yes. You could feel that. It was palpable. And I love that description, the velvety energy, and that presence. Okay, good. I'd love to hear some shares on what you might have done differently, or a question that you have for Deva around a choice that she made. So what are some things that you might have done differently if you were coaching, or questions like wonderings, why this, or what inspired that, and for the practitioner? Lisa.
I had a question. I haven't quite captured it. That piece where you said, why did you think you could do it, you know, with Sarah, with your father? I was curious with Deva at that point, because I've really got into the somatic stuff. I would have gone into a somatic process with that. But then I wondered if that wouldn't have been such a good idea, because Sarah was saying, you know, she's quite emotional, and maybe it would have been too much. So I've got a question mark.
Yes.
Would have been a good or bad idea.
I'm so glad you're bringing this up. And here is one way to answer the question mark. If you're going into a somatic process, are you going into the then and there, or are you going into the here and now? So let's remember back to being trauma informed, and if we are a coach in our scope for coaches, so asking questions, you know, like, what did your dad say back then? That's, we're dipping in, that's good, right? We're dipping into then and there. To be able to start to tell the difference, to create an awareness of the difference between the then and there and the here and now. If we're going into a somatic process, if a client has brought up like a past experience that maybe there's some trauma responses to, or that had them go into fight or flight, or, you know, kind of impacted their beliefs or created fears, if we're going to go into a somatic process based on that, we're not going to put our client inside of themselves and their bodies in the then and there. That is out of the scope of coaching. We can bring all the resources from the current moment onto that experience, right? So with everything that you know now, with all the resource that you know now, what is it that you would like to feel, or what is it that you would like to say in this moment, right? But we don't want to bring our clients somatically to the then and there. In advanced depth, I teach one memory reconsolidation technique where we use the past as like a jump off but we still stay in our scope as coaches to constantly be bringing the resources of the here and now. So we always want to keep that in mind. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. But what I've noticed when I do the somatic process myself, I go way back into the there and then. So that's a really, that's a really good catch, Joanna.
We can touch on it to create awareness so that a client can see, oh, this might not be a danger in the current moment, even though it was a danger back then. But we're not putting the client.
And not with a client, definitely not. This is just what it touched on for me. So really helpful clarification. Thank you for that.
Great question. Great. Who else? What's something you might have done differently if you were the practitioner? A question that you have? Kelsey.
Just noticing the hot messness that showed up with Sarah. I found myself wanting to, like, if I were the practitioner, to take time to regulate, kind of just in general, sort of before the process, and then found myself wanting that after the door as well, just to really kind of maybe visually orient, figure out where that person was in the space, sense if that amount of space felt safe enough, kind of sort of that, because it felt like also perhaps an opportunity to be in the act of self-care as well, and kind of like drop in some awareness around that, like maybe self-care doesn't have to be as big as we think it is, and sort of hone that self-care aspect into the regulation exercise. Felt like a place I might go. And then the other place I had curiosity around was like, perhaps after becoming regulated, getting curious about like her higher wisdom around her father's response, which came naturally towards the end. Like my dad came from this kind of parenting, but like I was curious around what could have opened there, bringing the wisdom on board around why he responded that way. What could the higher wisdom kind of like, could we hold that inner part for a bit and have higher wisdom speak, reparent? I don't know, but those were kind of two of my main.
Yeah, beautifully said. And on the second part, the wisdom actually did come in. And I think it wanted to be sat with a little bit more and felt somatically. So there is this beautiful moment where Sarah said, I deserve a gold medal for becoming the person that I am. It was just such an exquisitely beautiful moment and statement. And I think that was a possible moment to go deeper into, okay, how does that feel? Where do you know this truth in your body? How does that feel in your body? What else does this part of you want you to know about this program that you're marketing right now? What does this part of you want you to know about you as a hot mess? It was right there, and it got a little tapped in, but it could have gone deeper. That was the moment, Deva, where you gave the homework on her dad, which I understand why you wanted to do that. And I think that's great homework, but it was a moment like right then and there in the session to drill down, because that was the adult resource that was now being brought to that old memory, to the then and there. Thank you. Kelly.
Yes. Yeah, so a couple different things that occurred to me that maybe with more time could have been explored a bit are, one piece was, and this is building a little bit on what Kelsey said, but just asking right at the beginning, even just like tapping into the mental emotional levels around like, what is your lived experience of getting yourself out of a hot mess? Like, what do you usually do? And just like reminding her that she has tools and she does this. And and that she has the capacity and teaches this as well. And so just kind of drawing on that experience and helping her guide herself into that. And then there was something, and again, I don't have this in my notes because I was driving at the moment, but something Sarah said about support and getting support or not having enough support. There was something there. And then Sarah talked about her, sorry, I'm looking at you. You said something about talking with your friend in Brooklyn and, you know, expressing what was going on and getting some support. And I just thought, like, reminding her that she does have support and sort of tapping into the places where she is actually accessing others to engage her own support network. And then the last thing that felt really important to me, and this is a bit my lens, so this might be me projecting more, but it's just like how your self-care, because you said it with the Tara Brach thing, and then you said it around parents struggling so much with their own self-care when their kids are struggling with mental health issues. And I was just thinking, like, weaving this back into the work that you do and even tapping into, like, what are you doing to support parents and holding them through their hot mess? And, like, what tools do you offer to help get them to a more regulated place? And then how can your lived experience support them or support your deeper understanding or even support, like, the, not expansion of your work, but, like, the deepening of your work? And so, and maybe not making those connections, but this is going back to, like, the guiding, you know, what is the wisdom from this and how does that support you in supporting others? So those were a couple of other things that I think, yeah, and both supporting you and supporting others and in not just, like, building your compassion around it, but, like, you living the experience of being held and getting support and getting your own self-regulation online or getting out of the hot mess or whatever. Like, you have that lived experience to really, like, you have so much more compassion for what they're walking with, which of course you already have. But then how can you use that to even deepen in helping them get more of the supports they need? I think I'm starting to talk in circles. So I hope that made sense.
Yes, that made sense. And what I would add to that is some of those inquiries, I think, can also be supportive of Sarah bringing more compassion to herself around her hot mess and some of her own tools, which obviously are all there for you, Sarah. They're, like, right at your fingertips. Good. Who else? Anything else you might have done differently? Oh, we have 2 minutes left. Okay, I've been so engrossed in our conversation, I didn't realize what time it was. I wanna make sure I just mention one or two other pieces. You all, you know, I am a Virgo stickler. So just take this with a grain of salt, because this might not be like appropriate or the truth with a capital T at all. But I was not 100% sure on what the intention of the session was. I wanted a little bit more time and space to really hear what Sarah wanted to walk. I heard the hot mess and the shame piece, but I didn't hear what she wanted around those pieces. It is often useful to take an extra minute or two to support the client to really articulate as much as they can. Obviously, when we're feeling like a hot mess, we can't fully articulate, but as much as we can, like, what is it that we really want to walk away with? After Sarah shared so beautifully and so vulnerably about her father and all of that, there was this thing that came in, the tears and the kind of vulnerability hangover and all of that right before that happened for Sarah. And I don't know that this would have mitigated it, but I just, a toss right before Sarah kind of came back with that vulnerability hangover, I wrote down in my notes, like right after she shared, I would have acknowledged her for that experience. I think, Deva, you were so excited to get, there was so much juiciness in there. You were so excited to get to the meat and the juice. But sometimes after a client, particularly in front of a group, but even in general, after a client has shared really vulnerably, first we want to acknowledge, you know, and validate and really have them feel seen and heard in an affirming way and an honoring of their
experience. And then the only other piece I'll pull out for right now is that enforced radical self-care piece. And again, there's so many different ways to go in a session, but because that was such a something that felt so important to Sarah, and she was talking about self-care, you know, throughout, you could have done some archetype work in that moment, connect in somatically, feel the enforced radical self-care inside of you. Where does that one live? How does that one feel? What does that one know, right? In general, the truth, and then about the wisdom that it has for you in this moment of life right now. Okay, we're at 4:31. So I'll leave it at that for now. I would love if you have an extra minute, if you will share in the chat, what is it that you're taking for yourself from our call? And Sarah, since we've been talking about you for a while now, I want to just give you the last voice to voice. What are you taking away from our time together? Anything that you want to share?
Well, actually, that this debrief was really so profound, and because it's a chance to walk through the process without being so frayed. You know, and it gives me actually a really deep appreciation for what it must be like in sessions sometimes for people when strong emotion comes up. And actually, it is a change that I requested to make in the workshop. We came to this one slide and I said, you know, we tend to like go over the slide. It's all about like the horrible things that your teenager or young adult could say to you after returning home. And I was like, it feels to me like we need to like pause with this. And so I'm having that lived experience of cycling through almost like my own trauma around this stuff. And yeah, I thought it was really profound. And the funny thing is that I thought about setting the attention right off the bat, like, can we please just make me a self-care plan? And somehow I feel like in a weird way, by not going there, we got, because I'm a total masker, right? Which is of course why I felt so ashamed. Like, oh, nope, gotta get through this. And so there was something good about falling apart.
Yes. Yeah, I could feel that. And I could feel that that's what allowed, you know, what you said at the end, that the hot mess has cooled down. I could feel that palpably. And I think it needed to bubble over and just to be, whatever needed to be released. You know, there wasn't the exact words that you were saying. That was part of that. That mess cooling down.
Yeah. And the irony about the visitor is that for years I moved from Santa Cruz to Berkeley to go to school, etc. And one of my big complaints about Berkeley is nobody ever drops by unexpected. Whereas at Santa Cruz, it just happens all the time, you know? So it's like, oh, okay. So I feel kind of good about everything right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Deva. It was just amazing coaching and modeling for us. And thank you, everyone, for being here. Value all of you. You're also dear to me. It's so good to spend time with you. And I will see you very soon. Have a wonderful rest of your day.